This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
So we got a lot of ground to cover today. Katie George, the coveted invite, joins us today.
From?
The Bahamas.
She didn't get the Fargo gig, huh?
No. She's not going to Fargo with me and Lauren Sisler and Barrett Brooks. She's in the Bahamas.
Advantage Durham. Who wants to be in the Bahamas this time of the year? We can be in Fargo.
Right. And then 9 o'clock hour, one of our favorites, Elizabeth Kittley's been with us before and quite good, as I recall.
So this will be her second appearance.
That's right. And then Armando Bacot makes his triumphant return.
It will be his second appearance.
Armando will be here to also discuss some stocks. Took an interest in stocks and stuff over the last couple of years.
I just hope North Carolina and UCLA, a game in which we talked about yesterday, played now because UCLA had to cancel due to COVID issues. That game scheduled this weekend.
I got an idea.
Knock on wood. We'll see if that game's played.
We'll get to those details in just a second. Let's capture quickly the two games we had last night here on ACC Network.
Before you start with hoops, not to interrupt you, but yesterday we opened up presents.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
The bourbon balls.
And Captain Ron,
Otto,
Robert, the boys delivered to us unexpectedly.
Holiday gift.
And they were Woodford Reserve bourbon balls.
Uh-huh.
Have you sampled those yet?
No, sir.
All right, I did.
I'm waiting for the holidays.
Well, they are the holidays, as far as I'm concerned. So last night, I partook after dinner, after the radio show, and Mrs. P had a great meal, and I had chocolate on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what
better way than to open up the Woodford Reserve bourbon balls?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I offered one to my wife because I'm a gentleman. She took one, took a bite, and said, "Oh, these are excellent. These are really, really good."
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, "Whew, they're pretty strong." 6 later.
Whoa, hold tight. She had 6?
No, she had 1.
Got it.
6 of them later, as I'm sitting there on the couch watching Duke. For every Duke made field goal in the first half against South Carolina, I had a bourbon ball. All right. And she said, "Mark, honey, I love you, but you know, maybe 1 is enough." And I told her that, quite frankly, Captain Ron and Robert and Otto should have sent these to me like a week ago, so I'm playing like catch up. So 1 a day, I need to eat like 6 or 7 of them. Dude, wait till you open those up in Cartersville. Mm-hmm. Wow, are they good. I was eating them like M&M's.
I had one a couple of years ago.
Oh,
sample
my
plate.
God. I'm telling
pretty
you.
Pretty solid, huh?
I'm just saying, if you're looking for a stocking stuffer out there, since we don't have any Packer and Durham gear, we have none. We have no hats. We have no T-shirts. We have no coasters. We got nothing.
We got 1 coaster.
Yeah, well, that's not leaving the table. It's the only one we got.
Yeah, that's the only one.
We got nothing to give you, right? Because if we have a merchandise store with this stuff, I'd say, "Hey, we got Packer and Durham stuff," because I get asked every day. But if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, and I'm not, this is not a paid endorsement.
Yeah.
Go get those Woodford Reserve bourbon balls. Since Miss Jean's not putting hers on the market, these you can buy. They are spectacular.
Yeah.
Right, I'm sorry. Now back to Duke, South Carolina basketball.
Another NIL from Packer this morning.
I'm just telling you, and I will not, I will not head you down the wrong path when it comes to food, ever.
Get those online, I think.
Ever. You can buy them online.
Buy them online.
I already looked them up.
Okay. And order some more.
Man, those 6 were like, Duke made a shot. Boom. Duke made a shot. Boom.
We need them that fast.
She took the box away from me at halftime.
I'm sure, and rightly so.
6. That's how many I had in the first half.
Well, unfortunately, that was the story of the game.
Right.
Because number 1, South Carolina ended up winning 55-46. The rough start for the Blue Devils ended up being costly. Pack already told you, 29% from the floor in the first half. Aaliyah Boston, one of the better players in the country, 19 points, 14 rebounds last night for Dawn Staley's team. Blue Devils had flashes, but most of it came in the second half. And unfortunately could not get it down to really a single possession at all in the second half. But, you know, again, growth point for Kara Loss's team. They know where they stand in terms of when they go to battle number 1. Love the environment at Cameron last night, but short end of the stick for Duke, who started the night as one of 9 unbeaten teams this season, off to their best start since 2013-2014.
I thought they played well in the second half.
Yeah.
They got
the second
into
half
a,
was much better.
They got into a groove and a rhythm of the game. First half was again, I kept rooting for them to make a shot because I'm over there with my bourbon balls going, come on, ladies, let's go.
Right.
I'm ready to eat again.
Cheyenne Day Wilson, 17 points, 43% from the floor in the ballgame. Young freshman for Carol Lawson's program. So there we go. That was game one last night. Game two.
Mrs. P was not going to let me have the rest of the box for Florida State.
Right. Well, they
she said, you're
good
going,
thing because Anthony.
You're going to bed or go get me some more firewood
Anthony,
or something, but you're not going to do chew a bourbon ball every time Florida State makes a shot.
Well, Anthony Polite had a career high 25 last night. Florida State, five in double figures. Wyatt Wilkes, who Leonard Hamilton told us about yesterday, 13. Malik Osborne, Cameron Fletcher, a dozen. John Butler, 11. Florida State shoots 53% from the floor. There's Polite going to the rack, and quick night of work for the Noles, who led early, led often.
Leonard Hamilton, 11th appearance on the show yesterday. On game day, gets the W, was looking for some karma, some mojo. I suspect he wants to be on every game the rest of the year.
Good chance those game day appearances work out now.
They've been pretty good
folks
on our
looking
show.
Looking for another shot.
Coaches coming on our show on game day on a pretty good run.
That's right.
You know what?
There you go.
I go back to the football season. Where were we to start the year? Mm-hmm. Raleigh, North Carolina. Dave Dorn hanging out, delivering pancakes.
When?
How'd that work out?
When?
W. Had a pretty good year? Sure did.
Sure. Absolutely.
Just saying.
There you go.
Karma.
Scheduled tonight in the ACC. We got another double dip for you. On the men's side, ESPN2 will have Appalachian State and Duke. By the way, Dustin Kearns and the Mountaineers, who kind of backdoored the NCAA tournament last year, finished strong, won the Sun Belt tournament. They play Duke tonight and North Carolina next Tuesday night.
Can I give you a prediction?
Sure.
LL.
Okay, there you go. Ladies' side, Georgia is at NC State tonight. That's at 6 o'clock.
It's a good game.
On ACC Network. And number 6, Louisville welcomes Eastern Kentucky as well. Houston is at Florida State, available on the ACC Network Extra. Those are the games on the slate this evening. Pack just mentioned this a moment ago. Duke's official Twitter account last night announced that Sunday's game against Cleveland State had been canceled following an announcement by Cleveland State of a COVID-related pause to its program, and they finished it by saying, we're actively pursuing an opponent for Saturday. Within kind of about a half hour of the announcement from UCLA that their game against Alabama State was going to be postponed, and the Bruins are scheduled to see Carolina in Las Vegas on Saturday. Armando Bacot will join us at 9:30. I don't suspect he'll have any breaking news. However, if UCLA is not able to make the tape on Saturday in Vegas, and Duke's not able to make the tape because Cleveland State canceled, I got an idea.
Why not?
Pick them up at Smith Center Saturday afternoon. They do it in the summer all the time, right? Why not?
I mean,
just play one more on the house.
Doesn't have to be at the Smith Center. You can go neutral site somewhere
up
there.
Go to PNC Arena. Play on the Block S if you have to, right?
Yeah. I'm all for that.
I mean,
I don't think the coaches would be maybe.
No, I don't think coaches would be for it, but I would say.
Go back to the Big Four and a half. Maybe we did half the Big Four, old tournament back
then. I haven't looked ahead at the Saturday for Wake and NC State, but why not? Let's go Big Four one day.
I'm all for it. Even though I do, you know, on a serious note, coming up this weekend. Tomorrow, I think you've got St. Bonaventure and Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really important game, right? The Bonnies are good.
That is correct.
The Bonnies are looking for more quality Ws.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend you talked about yesterday, Indiana, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You got UCLA, North Carolina, maybe.
Right.
You got South Carolina, Clemson. You've got USC, Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
These are really important games for the league.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is we've discussed – the non-conference record so far for the league has not been spectacular, right? And I'm being very kind.
Mm-hmm.
The conference needs some quality Ws. So that's why it's really important North Carolina and UCLA play.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it's a great game if you love college basketball. Number two, North Carolina could use it. The league could use it.
Yeah.
Big time. So these are really critical games for the league. I know people are like, we don't have conference games until next Wednesday. We get back into conference play. But there's about five or six games this weekend, beginning tomorrow with that Virginia Tech game. that are really critical for the league. From a PR standpoint, from an RPI, a net, NCAA committee, all that stuff rolled into one.
In terms of NC State and Wake Forest, they actually play Friday night in the Hall of Fame event that's up the street here in Charlotte. NC State will play Richmond, and Wake Forest meets Ron Sanchez and Charlotte. The 49ers of Charlotte. It's also part of that St. Bonaventure Virginia Tech game. That's also in the Hall of Fame shootout at Spectrum Center. So we'll see what happens with Carolina UCLA. But you're right, bigger picture here, and obviously everybody's got to take health and safety at the forefront here. But the bigger picture is Carolina needs a non-conference game. They need a game like that. They actually need a win like that to help boost not only Carolina but the resume of the rest of the league, as you said. And I think that's, you know, you hate to lose games, period, understandably, given the precautions we're taking. But at the same time, you just don't have that many to hang your hat on.
Well, normally, traditionally, in every year that I can remember as an adult, the league at this point in time of the season, you wouldn't worry about such conversations that we're having because right. The conference is already loaded up on a ton of quality non-conference wins. It's kind of few and far between. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you really do a deep dive of where the men's side is, the women are in great shape. But the men's side, I mean, immediately you think Duke knocking off Gonzaga, which was a great basketball game and a tremendous win for Duke in the league.
Right.
But there are not many, Wes, when you start taking true inventory. I mean, it's great that, you know, Florida State took Lipscomb to the woodshed and beat him by 100, but, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, we're talking about games that truly matter.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll get into
more of them.
We're going to look at that a lot more in depth coming up about 8 o'clock this morning. All right, let's get to the National Signing Day.
Tremendous. Awesome. What a day. What a day it was yesterday listening to fans.
Is that right?
My God, I love it.
Do you?
It's one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah.
People lose their minds.
Yeah. Got several questions yesterday on the social media type thing. At 40 Acres Built says, you guys seemed a little bitter yesterday. You guys seem a little bitter this morning. Nobody was bitter on National Signing Day.
Yesterday?
Yeah. I didn't think we were bitter.
No, bitter at all?
Anyway, here is the...
got bourbon balls delivered at 7 a.m. Yeah, how can a man be
bitter? Should have been there last night with Pac-Man watching the women's basketball.
7 p.m. was even better.
All right, here's the rankings and the way it kind of shuffled out. Carolina finished at the top of the top of the ACC.
Might need a bourbon ball right now based on that throat.
Yeah.
You sure you can handle Fargo?
A little scratch. Oh, I'll be fine.
All right.
It's only going to be four. Carolina, the top in the ACC, ninth overall after day one. Clemson, you see, second. Florida State down to 20th. Explanation in a moment. Virginia Tech, 23rd. BC, 26th. Georgia Tech, 32nd. Interesting comments from Atlanta yesterday from Jeff Collins. NC State, 45th. Virginia, 47th. You see Louisville, Duke, Miami, Pitt, Wake Forest. Really? Y'all haven't learned yet, huh? And then Syracuse. Remember, the Deacs only signed 12 guys. That's probably why they're 67th, too.
Clemson signed 12 guys. They're 14th. I talked to Dabo yesterday, and you're going to hear parts of that today, parts of it tomorrow when Lugs is in here, because it was more recruiting-based. But Dabo Swinney yesterday did not hold back on where we are in college football. The tampering going on with the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. I mean, he let it rip yesterday on the show. You're going to hear parts of that again today and tomorrow.
Comes up about 8:45 this morning, I think, right?
Well, tomorrow, since Lugs is here and he's a recruiting expert, we'll play that, what he was really attacking with Lugs tomorrow.
Okay.
But if you caught the radio show yesterday afternoon, you know what I'm talking about. But Dabo Swinney, very, very, I mean, he made it crystal clear where we are in college football, and he's not happy with it.
Mm, yeah, I understand that. I guess before we go to break, we ought to take the elephant in the room, and that's Florida State losing a player to Jackson State, right?
Not a player. Arguably the player.
Yeah, number two overall recruit Travis Hunter decommitted from the Noles to sign with Coach Prime and Jackson State. He had been committed to Florida State for well over a year, March of 2020. Yeah.
Welcome to the world of recruiting. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the world of name, image, and likeness. Where you can basically cut a deal and let it rip. And you know what? It's all legit.
Are we speculating that Never mind. I'm not.
I'm not speculating. I'm telling you. Yeah. I mean, if you didn't see that happening yesterday, mm-hmm. I mean, it's out. And I know for old school college football fans, you're outraged. Hey, welcome to the new universe.
Yeah.
The new world order, as Dabo called it yesterday on the show. I mean, it's what it is. Yeah. So you better either adapt or you become a dinosaur.
There you go.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Thousands have been affected by southern and midwestern tornadoes. If you'd like to help, please visit redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster. We appreciate it, especially during the holidays, remembering those folks in those part of the country, that part of the country. And we welcome you back to Packer and Durham on this Thursday. Time for accounting. Viewer commentary came in.
Is that right?
The Hokey Diddler.
Excuse me?
Yeah, the Hokey Diddler.
Is that a newbie? That's a new one, right?
I don't know.
I don't
anyway,
remember the Hokey Diddler.
Yesterday afternoon, I got Wes Durham anxiously awaiting your way too early 2022 coastal ratings. If you don't have the Hokies in your top three, your Blacksburg passport is revoked. I think he was talking about football. So, Hokey Diddler, I got some news for you.
Hokey Diddler.
This is hoops accounting. And you're not in the top three. So, there you go.
You know, here, wait a minute. Let me just set the picture here.
Yeah.
You're on television.
Yeah.
You're in a basement
mm-hmm.
with dogs
and you.
A co-host
and
that's
you.
Maybe a little lightheaded from those bourbon balls. And you're having a conversation.
No, I didn't respond to it.
Imaginary conversation with a Hokey Diddler.
Well, the Hokey Diddler sent me a note on Twitter telling me that the Hokies better be in the top three in the coastal rankings.
Oh.
I just wanted to remind the Hokey Diddler, this is basketball. For those of you at home, we're doing hoops basketball.
I think I'm going to text Mrs. P if she's up.
Yeah.
Tell her to send down more of those bourbon
balls.
That'd be
good.
Because you're over there talking to the Hokey Diddler.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's roll mine out there first, and then we'll get to the Pac-Man, because
oh,
I know we got 16.
Sweet 16
all
on
right.
my side.
Duke, Carolina, Wake, Louisville, no change. Miami up 5. Couple of nice wins for the Canes. I like Florida State, especially after last night. NC State up a couple. Clemson up a couple after a couple wins. Syracuse down. Virginia Tech down. Virginia down. Notre Dame up. Georgia Tech down. BC down. Pitt even. It's a mess. And why are we doing this in December? I have no idea.
I know why we're doing it.
But I'm participating.
Yeah, well, reluctantly, I can tell. You are so bitter. That guy, that 40 acres guy was right. That Durham guy, he's bitter. hear me out now. This thing
hear
is...
Me out
hear
now.
Me out now. Listen.
Why don't you say we're operating both under the same theory? The top three are pretty good, and the bottom two or three are consistent.
You can't rip this. You know why? Because it's impossible.
How's your chair? Look at it, Chrissy. Can we go to the – look at this. Look, look. We got some mechanical engineering marvel going on here. How you doing there?
I'm good. Getting lightheaded. Where's my moon pod? if I had a moon pod, I tell you what, that company still hasn't delivered. Somebody called –
oh, wait. Now the moon pod people are going to be in the target zone.
A great job selling
I thought you were getting the thing. Now you're not going to get it.
I haven't received it. That's a difference between not getting it and haven't received it yet. So a guy asked me yesterday, let me adjust, and I said, I'm moon podless. But I do have bourbon balls. So
where's
got that going for us.
Where's our accounting?
All right, here comes accounting.
All right.
Here's the deal. From 4 until 15, you have no earthly idea who's any good in this league.
No question.
So I'm going Duke, I'm going North Carolina and the Swiss, 1, 2, 3. All right.
Okay.
I give NC State the 4 spot only because they took the number one team to the wire and quite frankly should have closed and won the game.
I agree.
And I'm giving Virginia Tech love because I think that's a really good team.
That and the Hokey Diddler likes you.
Well, the Hokey Diddler, it sounds like a Bond villain. The Hokey Diddler.
Sounds like a place you go to get chicken and ribs.
I think those are the 5 best teams in the league. I do. Mm. Today, Duke, North Carolina, Wake, NC State, Virginia Tech. I think Duke's the best team. Put them whatever order you want.
Okay.
But really, from really 6 to 15, yeah, okay, whatever.
And that includes like Notre Dame beating Kentucky. I mean,
I mean, Boston College, you know, beat Notre Dame. Then they lose to Albany. I could do this for every team on this list.
Syracuse loses to Colgate, loses to Georgetown,
yeah.
Pops up and wins one.
So there's no rhyme or reason to anything from
Virginia,
6 through 15.
I got no idea yet. Do you?
No.
Right.
Absolutely not. And Florida State's minus five. You know, they could be the fifth best team in the league, for all I know. Right? I mean, so I just slapped it together. I really, 6 through 15, really 6 through 14, because I think Pitt's the worst team in the league right now, based on the eye test. But 16, let me tell you who 16 is.
Wildcats.
You got it. Hey, Kentucky, can we play you all the time? and I say we as in the league.
The league.
You are 0-6 against the Atlantic Coast Conference the last 2 years. O-N-S-I-X. Just like the same amount of bourbon balls I had last night.
Dun, 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 dun.
And listen, got
dun,
respect
dun,
for
dun,
Big Blue Nation.
Dun, dun, dun,
but
dun,
you know
dun.
What? The ACC, you want some wins? Go schedule Kentucky. And oh, by the way, Louisville, you get them next Wednesday. All right? Just saying. Keep that streak alive, ACC.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it's a total dice roll. It makes no sense to do accounting now, but we're doing it just because we can. There it is. What can I tell you? But I do think Duke's the best team. I think North Carolina's playing the best after that. And Wake Forest has been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
That's what I think so far.
Yeah.
I like NC State. I like Virginia Tech. Everybody else, man, still a work in progress.
All right. We're going to show you this here. There are 9 ACC teams with 4 losses to this point in the season.
That's right.
All right. On the right is the date of their corresponding loss last season. Now, I know it was the pandemic, different level of games. The first team to reach last year was Boston College on December the 12th.
They're consistent.
Right. They're the only team to reach that number of losses at a later date this year.
You know, Notre Dame was close.
Yeah.
Look at these numbers. Like, if you're a Virginia fan, you're Florida State fan. You know, you win last night, you're 6-4. When you lost your fourth game last season, it was February 27th. Now, those dates right there are scary.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's a different year. COVID last year was goofy. But, hey, we're into a real season this season. And I'm not, like we said, we just did accounting. And once you get past that top five, Wes, man, 6-15 right now is a David Cutcliffe double dice roll. Who knows?
Okay, now, with the COVID, Pac mentions that, and that is a part of this equation. However, 4 losses this year, 4 losses last year. Look at the number of games played to get to it. See, there we go. So you look at the total number of games played to get to those losses this year and last year. Still not great.
No,
I mean, Florida State took 18 games. It took 9.
It tells a story.
Yeah.
That's what it tells.
It does. Even, you know, in the case of Pittsburgh, took 7 games this year, 16 last year. You got to work hard now to find that situation. Notre Dame had some struggles this year, took 1 more game this year than last year. But that's about the rest of them. It's
And all of those teams on that list right there, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Florida State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, BC, Pitt. What will be interesting moving forward to me, Wes, is who from that quote-unquote glob
moves up,
gets on a run, right? Because there's some really talented teams there that you expected to play better coming out of the gate, and it's too early to put dirt on anybody. But, you know, the league really needs at least 2 or 3 from that group, in my opinion, to get hot.
I would
beginning
go,
tonight,
yeah,
moving forward.
I would go back to that graphic to show you. Remember now, let's go back to that graphic if we can, Josh and Chrissy, too. I want to show you one school that at the end of the year we looked at in an entirely different light, and that was Georgia Tech. You looked at Georgia Tech with Alvarado, Moses Wright, Jordan Usher. Remember, they had 9 losses or 4 losses in their first 9 games or 11 games. This year, 9 games. Okay, so once again, they've kind of gotten balky out of the start. Florida State's much more pronounced. They had a good year. Virginia, much more pronounced. They had a good year. We know Georgia Tech can do it, Pac, because they did it last year. Who is that group right there? Is it going to be Syracuse, who we were optimistic about in the preseason? Is it going to be Virginia Tech? Is it going to be Virginia? Somebody. I would say you're right. We got to have three out of that group.
At least three.
To get six in the tournament.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, and we're comfortable right now with Duke. We're comfortable with North Carolina. Wake has been a pleasant surprise, but the quality of opposition, I want to see how that develops as we move on.
Right.
I like NC State. I like Virginia Tech. I've been high on Syracuse, but they've been Jekyll and Hyde. It's still Virginia and Florida State. I don't care. I know they've gotten off to slow starts, but it's still Virginia and Florida State.
Correct.
And I expect them to play well. So, you know, I don't know. It's middle of December. It's hard to come to any conclusions yet, I think. But there's some teams that you expected to play better. And they need to start showing some signs of life here.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Thursday, December 16th. You got 9 days till Christmas.
Are you done with your shopping?
No, you don't. No. Professional shoppers start once you get past the 20th.
Are you a professional shopper?
I am.
Okay.
I am indeed.
You got your name, image, and likeness for that professional shopping?
I don't need a name, image, and likeness, brother.
You are name, image, and likeness.
Listen, here's the deal. Anybody, and I mean anybody, can shop.
Like now.
A month ago.
Yeah.
No. Thanksgiving. Sales are going.
And you're not the online guy either. You like going in the stores.
No, and I hate the mall. I walk in. Anybody can shop when every shelf is stocked with anything you want.
Yeah.
That takes no skill.
Here we go.
The professional shopper walks in. When everybody's bought everything and you walk in, you go, okay, now it's a challenge. Let's go. That's a professional shopper.
What kind of gems do you come out of there with when the shelves are empty?
I am a great shopper for the family gifts.
What's the best gift you've ever bought on the 24th at the 11th hour?
Diamonds.
Daggone, the Pac-Man dropping loads of bread.
You want any more of that? Big man?
What kind of diamonds are you buying?
Sparkly kind.
Hate I'm going to miss the run-up next week to Christmas.
Well, that'd be your loss.
That's my loss.
You're
going
to be down there in Cartersville with the cat.
I'm going to be out there next waiting. Week. I'm on the road next week.
That's all right, big man. I will be too.
All right.
Shopping.
Yeah.
All right, let's go for the football, man.
All right,
football.
Class grade. Speaking of values, like that transition? Thank you very much. Here's the way the recruiting rankings, five teams in the top 30 of ESPN.com's class rankings after the early signing day. Carolina, Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Boston College. Nice job by Jeff Hafley, according to the folks that analyzed this.
That's right.
The main analyst will be sitting here tomorrow, Tom Luganbill. All right, but what are the four-year recruiting class rankings averaging and translating to field success? We got into this yesterday by showing you the 2s, 3s, and 4s that ended up being real players, especially the 2s and 3s. So when you say you've had a great recruiting class, okay, what have you backed it up with, right?
Yeah, you got to go win games.
So little work here by our unbelievable team at Packer and Durham to compile recruiting rankings and wins, especially as it relates to conference play. So here we go. We're going to roll it back to 2017 to start. And we're going to look at the average class ranking. That's the number on the right. And the conference standings in each division. This is four-year averages now. Okay? Four-year average for Clemson, 2017 going in, 8.5. They went 7-1.
Which means you should be really good. Period.
So they correct. Were. NC State, 41.5. They went 6-2.
Pretty solid work there.
Really good work.
It's good coaching work.
Okay. Georgia Tech, 47.5, went 4-4. This was still Paul Johnson's. Paul Johnson's recruiting classes used to get panned all the time, and yet they, you know, 500 or better in the league.
Well, the one that pops off the screen right here, there's two.
Okay. NC State being one, I guess?
No, the two that pop off the screen to me are Florida State, average class is 2.5, and you're 3-5 in the league.
Right.
That's not great. And the other one's on the other side in the coastal at the very bottom at North Carolina. Average class is just 30, which is pretty good. 1-7.
Right.
So those two absolutely jump off the screen to me.
Sorry. Now, here we go. We're going to evolve the averages again, 4 years. and we're going to push it one more season, 2018. Now, this is the part where this stuff starts to stack up, Pac, and you start looking at those numbers from one year to the next. So remember, Clemson's like 8.5, NC State, 41.5. Here's the next year. Four-year average class rankings again, all right? Pittsburgh, 41.5, went 6-2. Georgia Tech, 47.5, 5-3. Miami, 15.5, went level par. Virginia Tech, 28, 4-4. Carolina, 28, 1-7.
Two teams pop off the screen to me here, Wes.
Florida State and Carolina.
Florida State and North Carolina. Hello, anybody home? We got really good players. We're not winning any games.
Yep. Clemson went 6.8 was the average over 4 years, 8-0 in the conference. Syracuse, 56.5, they went 6-2.
That was their great year.
Yeah.
Right. Dean had a tremendous year that year.
Okay. All right, let's push it one more. 2019. Okay, remember this was Virginia-Clemson in the ACC championship game. What do you see here, Pac? How about Florida State 9.5 at 4-4?
I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean, either the recruiting numbers lie or your coaching lied or both, right? That's kind of what this is, and that's why I don't worry about recruiting rankings on National Signing Day. You'll find out how good it is a couple years down the road.
Dave Clawson's building program starts to take shape.
Yep.
17, they were 55. 18, they were 54. 19, they are 57. Their conference records in those years, 4-4, 3-5, 4-4. Okay, keep an eye on the Deeks here, okay? Now, 20 is the skewed one, okay? 20 just gets because of the COVID and everything else. So this all ends up being one kind of big fell swoop. And by the way, we didn't put Notre Dame in the league because they were just here to – eat a meal.
For a cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee.
And to get pounded in the championship.
Right. Florida State is 14-2-6. The other one, I mean, there's nobody else really in the top 10 except Clemson. They went 8-1. Miami does trend up here, Pac, from a scenario in 19 where their average rank was 17. They go about a half a point up. They go to 7-2.
Well, the one that does jump off the screen again,
Carolina,
is Florida State.
Oh, Florida State, yeah, 14-2-6.
Average class is 14. You're 2-6 in the league. I mean, I don't mean to pile on, but either the recruiting rankings stink or the coaching wants.
Yeah, Carolina goes 7-3, and their average class is 26.
I mean,
that's about right. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of how that should work if what you're being sold on National Signing Day is accurate.
All right,
and your coaching's decent.
Correct. All right, you ready now?
Yep.
Let's go to 21. Why do you see this? Wake Forest average class, 58-8. They went 7-1. Pitt's average class, 43-8. They went 7-1. Carolina, 22. They went 3-5.
You know, there's two consistents here to me in all of this. It's Florida State and North Carolina.
And not a good consistent.
No, I'm talking about ones that jump off the screen.
Right.
That either the analysts have no earthly idea what they're talking about with recruiting, or coaching changes, or poor job coaching, or whatever the comment, and whatever you want to come, a dog ate my homework, sun's in my eyes, I don't know, you come up with whatever excuse you want. That's why I don't worry about National Signing Day recruiting rankings when they come out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you got to get good players, that's a given.
Right.
But more importantly, you got to develop what you get. Some guys do a better job at that than others.
Yeah.
And if you have the combination of really good players that you sign and you can coach, guess what happens?
Yeah.
You win championships.
And there's no pause for indictment here, but it is interesting to look at Wake Forest, NC State, to a degree even Virginia. We've always talked about the long game with Bronco Mendenhall. That shows up here too. I mean, the kind of success these programs have had. They've had a championship game appearance. NC State hasn't, but Wake and certainly Virginia have. Now, this last piece is the fluctuation in recruiting rankings, okay, from 2017 through 2021. And this is a plus-minus drill. And biggest decreases, biggest increases, Pac.
This is kind of like FBI to me a little bit, this stuff. Because to me, the wins and the losses – are really the ultimate barometer.
I understand that. And I agree with you. The interesting part for me is the value and the improvement that coincided with NC State's move. The other thing is this. There's a school not on there that has consistently performed. That's Wake Forest. And the other school that's made a nice move in the last couple of years is Boston College. They've had a point plus 3.5 increase, and they've obviously gotten better.
Well, here's the thing. This is why I mentioned what I did, because everybody's standard's different. Right, I mean, to measure Clemson up or down when their class.
Well, Clemson's been up there for 10 years.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's starting at a different point here. Clemson's, right. Hey, are you a top 10 class, top 5 class? Mm-hmm. You know, how many teams in the ACC could raise their hand with those? Well, maybe one, maybe two, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends on what neighborhood you live in here a little bit.
I'm with you.
So, at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses. Whether your class is in the 60s like Wake, and by the way, we saw Dave Clawson yesterday on the show, right over his shoulder was the Atlantic Division title. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody, there's not a banner in it that says, hey, we had the 58th ranked recruiting class 4 years ago. No, it's called hardware. You either got it or you don't. And to get it, you got to have dudes and you got to develop them.
Look, and everybody.
Whether they're a 2-star or 5-star.
Well, and everybody has their span, right? Their window, if you will. Some last longer than others. You know, the influx of Carolina, obviously, is the tail end of Larry Fedora and the early start of Mack Brown 2-0 in Chapel Hill. We talked about that in the ranking. We didn't mention that, but that's obviously in the window that we're talking about. The other thing, too, is you're picking up the long game of Dave Dorn and Dave Clawson and Bronco Mendenhall, the early move of Jeff Hafley. And, by the way, some pretty decent talent left for him based on the recruiting averages by Steve Adazio's work, right? They got some players. Maybe it didn't turn into wins and losses on the field or whatever the case may be that they made the change. But you can certainly say now that Boston College is on the move. That's the value of this, I think, that's fascinating, is to watch those numbers. And again, you can make numbers say whatever you want. I get it. But there is some degree of success in this example between certain schools. I find it really interesting beyond the success for the last decade that Clemson's had.
Win games, Wes. Win games.
Oh, that part hadn't. It's never changed.
It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, there was nobody walking around Bank of America Stadium 2 weeks ago going, hey, guess what, man? Remember 4 years ago we were ranked 58 in recruiting? Nobody was saying that. You know why? We're here to win the ACC championship. It's all about winning games. Mm-hmm. You know, and North Carolina had a top 10 class apparently yesterday, according to the experts. That's great. Well, how does that – how's that going to work 2-3 years down the road?
We're getting ready to find
that's
out.
That's what
we just showed.
Right? Yep. I mean, you know, you can give me all this stuff you want about, hey, we had a top 20 class. Hey, I'll give you a nice, good, slow Tiger Woods golf clap. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When are you going to win some games? And or when are you going to be in the college football playoff?
Right.
When are you going to win the ACC championship? Right? I mean, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, University of Georgia said this yesterday on radio. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. University of Georgia is going to finish with their sixth consecutive top three recruiting class. During that period, they've won one conference title, no natties, and one college football playoff game win. Awesome. I mean, how many 5-stars do you need to have a championship? I mean, I'm not dogging them, but I kind of am. I mean, if you believe
in
this.
Pardon the pun.
You know, yeah, no pun intended. But, I mean, at some point in time, you could tell me about all these 5-star dudes you signed or 2-star guys you developed.
Right.
And I'm going to sit there and look at you and go, that's great. Have you won anything?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, at the end of the day, that's what fans want to do. They want to say, guess what? We're number one.
Yep.
Right. Whether it be in your league, your division, the national championship, a major bowl win, whatever it is. So all this recruiting stuff, hey, it's important to get good players. But it's even more important to develop them and turn them into something.
Yeah. I think that example, the math on that is pretty interesting, though, isn't it, from a development standpoint?
Without question. Yeah. And it's real. I mean, you've got to have good coaches, and you got to get good players. That combination normally equals a bunch of W's and championships, normally.
Go. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
More football, more basketball, all that stuff. Including coaches from last night in the huddle.
Yep, really good program last night. Jordan Cornette, EJ Manuel, Eric McClain, Coach Richt, all involved in breaking down the day of recruiting. Tom Luganville stopped by to visit with them. but you want to hear from the coaches, and so do we. So here's what they had to say last night. Jeff Hafley, Dino Babers, Mack Brown, and Mike Norvell with the huddle.
A busy day in college football. Dreams realized. Rosters fortified. A promise for a brighter future. It's signing day. We are joined now by Tar Heels head coach Mack Brown. Coach, how excited are you about the talent you're bringing in?
We feel great. It's just, every coach you talk to today is going to say that this was a great recruiting class, and if he doesn't, he's going to get fired because he's been recruiting these guys for 2 years. So it better be a good day.
Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley. Coach, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great. That's why we're out here in Boston. I got the staff inside having some dinner and drinks, well-deserved. We're going to enjoy it. We got a great class, great kids, great people. My first in-person recruiting class as a head coach. So I'm pumped, guys.
Coach Dino Babers with us now. When you look at your recruiting class, is there a gem like a Sean Tucker who's maybe one of those 2-3 stars that turns into your real difference maker?
You know, it's amazing. I'm looking at the picture that you guys pulled up on Sean on social media, and the first thing I said was, he looks a lot bigger than that.
Yes. You know,
you look like you could kick some sand on him on the beach in that picture you put up. I'm not sure you can kick sand on him right now.
Without question, this is the best class that I've ever been around.
Oh, boy.
And they're a top class athletically. The rankings are good. We'll all see if that matters in 3 or 4 years, because that's when they really get ranked. So we feel really, really good about it. And there's only 17. With the extra COVID years, we didn't know how many we had. But we thought at one point we might be able to sign 4 people. So the NCAA kind of left us hanging out there, and now we've been able to sign 17.
Coach, your first time in person with these guys, how much fun was that to see them, go to these house visits, see them in person?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, think about this, Eric. Last time I was recruiting, I mean, the guys showed up in June, and I was praying that they were really 6'2 and not 5'7 and looked like me. I mean, that was... This time I got to go in their living rooms, meet their parents, meet their brothers and sisters, and really get to know them and feel like what they're all about. Do they love ball? Do they love people? Do they fit BC? And gosh, we signed 21 kids who fit us, and I am fired up.
Well, Coach Babers, I wanted to ask you, how important is it to get some of the players from outside the state of New York? You know, obviously, we know that they have some great football players in high school there, but you got some commitments from Miami down here in Plantation, Florida, where I live. How important is it to get some of those kids from down south?
You know, it's important to complete your roster. We're going to always start like a spirograph. We're going to always start at Syracuse and work our way out. But there's no doubt that if you're not getting what you're looking for close, you have to keep moving south. And a lot of those guys play a lot more football down there. If we can't get it close, we'll go all the way down there, and it's good to be able to complete our rosters.
Florida State head coach, Coach Mike Norvell, and what would best be described as a roller coaster of a day. As the dust settles, it's still a very strong class for the Florida State Seminoles, one that ends up being ranked 20th nationally. But, Coach, as you're now on the back end of what's been a frenzied day, what's your reaction to it all?
You know, just excited about the additions in our program. You know, this was a class that we had some very specific needs that we had to address. I think we were able to do that. And anytime you could do that with top quality your athletes, but incredible young men, it makes it a special day.
No question, Coach. I think a lot of people were wondering, in the college football world at least, were wondering what was going through Coach Norvell's mind when the news kind of rocked everybody that Travis Hunter, number 2 recruit in college football, decommitted from your program to go to Jackson State. It's the wild, wild west in recruiting. It's a new era, no question. But what was your reaction to that news?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm grateful for the opportunity for every young man that I got to recruit throughout this recruiting cycle, and to be able to sit in the homes, to be able to share the vision. You know, I'm excited about the guys that have chose to come play at Florida State, and we got a special group of young men. It's part of each year, and you know, obviously, I wish that, you know, each and every young man all the best in their future and decisions that they made. But very excited about this group that we're bringing as Florida State Seminoles.
You nabbed an all-important guy coming back next season who means a lot to your program, and Phil Dracovic announcing his return. What was behind those conversations that ultimately led for you to get your guy back up there in the Northeast in Chestnut Hill?
Yeah, that's the number one recruit right there. And I'll say that with the way the football is right now and people leaving places, you got to take care of your own guys. You got to love your own guys. You got to recruit your own guys. You got to make them feel really important. And this guy's on a mission. He's going to come back and lead this team. He wants to help recruit. He wants to win big. He wants to be the first quarterback picked in the draft. and he's got all that to look forward to, and we're really excited. Shoot, we just got some police cars and ambulances driving by. We got it all in Boston tonight, guys.
Coach, it's cold outside. You're clearly causing a ruckus out there.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful out here.
What's
that? We got Christmas trees. I mean, look at this backdrop right now.
A lot of people are talking about the winning coach and the mayonnaise bath. It'll be for charity. $10,000 going to the winning coach's favorite charity. Can we expect now? We've heard from Coach Beamer. He's going to take it. If they get the win, he'll take that mayonnaise bath. Are you going to do
Jordan,
the same, Coach?
I am. If we won a game, I'd let somebody hit me in the face with a frying pan. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Hit me with a broom. Hit me with a sledgehammer. Whatever you need to do, we need to win a game.
Well, in a day of commitments, I think we just got Coach Mac Brown's best commitment. Coach, congratulations on the class. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Wait a second. Mac, no, it's the Duke's mayonnaise game, Coach Brown. It's only mayonnaise. Waffle House might be that frying pan deal.
What he said was 100% right. Let's just win a game.
Right.
Period. Hey, I don't want to open up a wound here, but remember what happened in the Bulls, the postseason last year in the Bulls, right?
For the league.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with Mac. Let's go win a game. I don't care if it's 3-2. Get the W.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Jeff Hafley now, feeling pretty good. He's had some in-person recruiting. Bless his heart. I mean, he's had to do 2 years of virtual.
Well, we've been impressed with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Djurkovic coming back, mm-hmm. It sets the table, I think, for BC to have a big year in 22.
Boy, tell the truth there, right? We're going to dive back more into basketball coming up top of the hour. Katie George will be with us at 8:30.
Katie from the Bahamas.
Huh.
Do we have any other? The coveted invite from the Bahamas.
We got a few things we got to talk about with Katie, don't we?
Yeah.
There was this whole thing about a change of life and change of heart she went through this fall and everything.
No, she's coming down to crunch time. She's less than, I think, a month from walking the aisle.
Oh, yeah, the nuptials.
Yeah, that was a life changer.
There we go.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.